RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id.
Hello, listener. Welcome back to our English program of the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Today's edition will bring you first our news, followed by commentary, Today in History, Focus and News in Brief. We'll continue our segment with Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany. To conclude our program for today, we'll present you our daily segment, Music Corner. That's our program summary for today. This is Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news read by Rahman Afus, the headlines. Indonesia and U.S. agency cooperate to develop aviation safety system. Army chief proposes allowance height for soldiers. Now the news in detail. The U.S. Trade and Development Agency, USTDA, has provided a grant to help Indonesia develop its aviation safety systems in eastern areas of Indonesia. The U.S. Embassy's Counselor for the Commercial Affairs, Rosemary Gallen, who represents USTDA, and the Transportation Ministry's Civil Aviation Director General, Supra Setio, signed the grant agreement in Jakarta on Tuesday. The grant signing ceremony was conducted during an Indonesian-U.S. Aviation Working Group, AWG, seminar held to mark the first anniversary of successful U.S.-Indonesian cooperation on aviation. U.S. Ambassador to Indonesia Robert O'Blake and Transportation Minister Ignatius Jonan witnessed the ceremony. The project funded by the USTDA grant includes the development concept operations and capital investment plan and the implementation of timeline to help improve flight safety and air navigation practices in Papua and Maluku. Ambassador Blake said that as a large, populous and mobile archipelago, air transport is crucial for Indonesian economy and its citizens, both in terms of passenger and cargo traffic. Thus, the grant directly supports the government of Indonesia's efforts to improve air safety and to promote economic development, particularly in Papua and Maluku. Army Chief of Staff General Mulyono will propose an increase in the allowances for soldiers stationed in the provinces of Maluku and North Maluku due to the high cost of living. He has proposed that the allowance for the soldier in Maluku and North Maluku should be equal to those of their counterparts stationed in operation areas because the two provinces comprise many islands where costs of living are high. He added that the Army has developed programs to improve 53 bases with the so-called block system in a bid to improve the soldiers' welfare. He views that the soldiers have worked hard and seriously, but what they earn is not in proportion to their hard work. Therefore, it becomes his responsibility as the Army Chief. The House of Representatives, DPR, has finally passed the draft bill on second amendment of Law No. 1, 2015, on determination of government regulation in lieu of Law No. 1, 2014, on gubernatorial, district head and mayoral election into law in the plenary meeting on Tuesday. One of the most crucial issues agreed is the mandatory resignation for the House, Senate and City Council members who want to run for regional election. Despite the passage of the draft bill, two factions of the House, from Great Indonesian Movement Party Gerindra and Prosperous and Justice Party PKS, expressed their objection to one point. Example, the requirement to resign for House members. They reasoned that based on the principle of equality, incumbent regional heads are not required to resign from office, likewise the House members. The Central Statistics Agency, BPS, has recorded 94.54% increase in foreign tourist arrivals in West Java through Husein Sastranegara Airport in April. The head of the Distribution Statistics Division of BPS, West Java, Dudun Supriyadi, said in Bandung on Wednesday that the decrease was recorded in March and it was now soared again, and the increase is fairly significant. Dudun said that the expanded airport terminal that began full operation in April has led to significant increase in foreign tourist arrivals through Husein Airport. Aside from terminal improvement, a number of events held throughout April had also boosted foreign tourist arrivals in Bandung. The BPS has recorded 30,806 foreign tourist arrivals in West Java throughout April through the gate of Husein Sastranegara Airport, rose by 94.54% compared to that of March with 15,835 arrivals. This news is coming to you from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. The allocation of village funds by the government in the past 2 years is expected to reduce urbanization. Head of the National Planning and Development Agency, Bafina Sofian Jalil, expects in Jakarta on Tuesday that the urbanization can be stopped by the transfer of village funds. In 2016, the government has allocated 46.9 trillion rupiah village funds from the state budget, whereby every village is expected to receive roughly 800 million rupiah, or double from the last year 20.76 trillion village funds. Sofian also said the urbanization can be reduced if village funds are utilized for development and improvement of village infrastructure, as well as creating job opportunities for villagers. He considered that the maximization of village funds is a unique challenge as it needs human capitals that are ready to be exploited. The establishment of village-owned enterprises, or locally called BUMDESA, could be also an option to manage village funds in exploring the potential of every village for them to further develop. Vice Chairman of the House Commission for Daniel Johan has called on the government to immediately set price ceilings on food to make difficult for the mafia to control food prices. He said at the Parliament building in Jakarta on Tuesday that the set price ceilings are meant to stop mafia. If vendors are selling food with higher price, they are given sanctioned by banning them from selling for a month. He added that the state logistic agency Bulog may be transformed into national food agency that will set up such price ceilings. Moreover, he criticized the government's decision to set beef price at 80,000 rupiah per kilogram. Therefore, Daniel recommends the government to make it much simpler. Every Idul Fitri day and Christmas, the government should implement cross-minister limited policy and set the price ceiling on food. The last item, an earthquake measuring 5.0 on the Richter scale, shook the northern part of Sulawesi Island on Tuesday night. This was reported by Meteorology Climatology Geophysics Agency BNKG. The agency said on its official website that the epicenter of the quake, which struck at around 10:01 p.m. West Indonesian time, was located at around 0.33 degrees southern latitude of around 124.29 degrees eastern longitude at the depth of around 14 kilometers. The quake was not significant enough to cause a tsunami. There was no immediate report of casualties or material damage. The official also reported that the 5.0 magnitude quake is considered moderate and capable of causing considerable damage. The quake happened early 18 hours after Palu quake with a magnitude of 6.5 rocked the western coastal area of Sumatra Island on Tuesday morning, leaving score of people injured and tens of houses damaged. That's news over the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Listener, our commentary today entitled Discourse to Revive the Palestinian-Israeli Peace Agreement Welcomed by Israel. The discourse on Palestinian-Israeli peace talks re-emerged. A few days ago, Egyptian President Mohamed El-Sisi expected re-establishment of Palestinian-Israeli peace talks as the best solution for the cessation of the peace initiative in 2002. The statement by President Mohammed el-Sisi was responded by Israel. On May 31st, Prime Minister of Israel Benjamin Netanyahu expressed readiness to accept the proposal and is willing to revive the initiative of Arab state about Palestinian peace. The initiative offers requests from Arab countries to Israel. Prime Minister Netanyahu remarked that this government's viewpoint is that the Arab states are ready to recognize Israel in exchange for peace and recognition of Israel to Palestinian sovereignty. Tel Aviv administration, as Prime Minister Netanyahu said, assessed that the initiative of the Arab state could help revive the peace efforts with the Palestinians, which has been suspended. Meanwhile, there hasn't been any comment from Palestine, both Hamas and Fatah. As it is known that Israel suspended the peace talks with Palestine after Jerusalem formed a unity government combining Hamas and Fatah, Tel Aviv condemned the policy. The peace effort and the complete resolution are actually the best solution to end the war and the ongoing conflict. But in regard to Palestinian-Israeli relations, the most important point is that there must be an immediate recognition of Palestine's independence as a sovereign state with territorial boundaries. The military aggression and annexation of Palestine's territories by Israel may soon end through the peace agreement. Indonesian government has to encourage every initiative undertaken to acknowledge Palestine's independence and to end the prolonged conflict which has brought about negative impact on the lives of the Palestinian people. Listener, that was commentary today read by Rahmana.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
Today in History. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Listener, welcome to Today in History. We start from June 3, 1947. Indonesian military TNI was officially inaugurated by President Sukarno. Indonesia at the beginning of the establishment did not have a unified army. People's Security Agency in Indonesian Independence Preparatory Committee session, PPKI, on August 22, 1945, was not the army as a military organization official. People's Security Agency, BKR, both at central and regional levels under the authority of the Central Indonesian National Committee and regional KNI, and not under the orders of the President as the Supreme Commander of the Armed Forces. On January 7, 1946, the People's Security Army renamed the People's Salvation Army. Then on January 24, 1946, was changed to the Army of the Republic of Indonesia, DRI. Because at that time, in Indonesia, there is other armed roles beside the Army of the Republic of Indonesia. The date of May 5, 1947, the President issued a decision to unite the Army of the Republic of Indonesia ranks of arms into the Indonesian National Army. The unification took place and was inaugurated on June 3, 1947. On June 3, 1989, tanks of Chinese Liberation Army throws away Tiananmen Square demonstration. Tiananmen Square protests in 1989 is a series of student-led demonstrations held in Tiananmen Square in Beijing, China, which started since April 15, 1989. The protest was directed against economic instability and political corruption, which then spread into a pro-democracy demonstration. It is estimated that more than 3,000 people died as a result of the repressive actions of the armed forces. The demonstrations triggered by the death of Hu Youbang, Secretary General of the Chinese Communist Party, who resigned. Hu deemed liberal-minded people and forced to resign from his position by Deng Xiaoping. After this repressive action, the government arrests everywhere to suppress the remnants of the movement supporters. The government restricts foreign press access and control of reporting on these events. Suppression of the demonstrations in Tiananmen Square that drew criticism extensively by the United States government and other Western countries against the rule of China. On June 3, 2006, Montenegro officially gained independence from Serbia. State Union of Serbia and Montenegro is the unity of the State of Serbia and Montenegro, which took place between 2003 to 2006. The two countries, the former states of the Socialist Federal Republic of Yugoslavia, initially formed the Federal Republic of Yugoslavia in 1992. On May 21, 2006, people of Montenegro held a referendum on full independence. On May 31, the official final result showed that 55.5% of voters opted for independence. The Arab countries were effectively ended after the official declaration of independence of Montenegro on June 3, 2006, and in the same month, Montenegro joined in the North Atlantic Treaty Organization, NATO. Listener, that was Today in History.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Focus, Daily News and Events.
Hello listener, welcome to Focus. Today we'll take you to a topic about protecting migrant workers. Listener, one of Indonesian female workers, Rita Krisdianti, origin Ponorogo, East Java, who worked in Malaysia, to be sentenced to death by the Court of Penang, Malaysia. She was accused to bring drugs and hazardous substances, kind of sabu-sabu, weighing 4 kilograms to the neighboring country. Responded to the case, member of the Commission 9, Indonesian House of Representatives, DPR, Nihayatul Wafiroh in Jakarta Tuesday, May 31, 2016, urged the government to do everything possible to defend Rita Krisdianti. Nihayatul asked the government to be able to prove to the judges that Rita merely a victim of drug trafficking syndicate. The Indonesian government should continue to give a defense as strong as possible to prove Rita was the victim, not the kingpin, dealer, or user. Nihayatul even asked Malaysian authorities to release her if she is found not guilty in the filing of an appeal against the death sentence. He asked Malaysia not hasty to execute the death penalty against Rita. Nihayatul also hoped Malaysia follows the Indonesian government to postpone the execution of Volume 2 toward the Philippines worker Mary Jane Vista Veloso because she was using her legal rights in order to prove her innocence. Directorate General of Manpower Placement Labor and Employment Expansion, Harry Sudarmanto, in Jakarta Thursday said the government has tried various measures to lighten Rita's punishment, such by choosing a lawyer to handle the case. Harry Sudarmanto explained that the Ministry of Manpower expressed support for an appeal, which will be carried out by Rita's lawyer. Interagency coordination in effort to mitigate punishment for Rita has been and will continue to be done, hopefully to reduce the verdict. Harry Sudarmanto said what happened to Rita will be a lesson for the Indonesian government and workers abroad. According to him, the briefing to the potential workers will be intensified so that the prospective workers will be more aware of the law and are not easily persuaded illegal bids. He added that the Ministry of Manpower has repeatedly socializing at the shelter and training places before the departure of migrant workers abroad. Meanwhile, Foreign Affairs Minister Retno Marsudi, escorted by Antara Tuesday, May 31st, said the government will improve legal assistance to a woman laborer from Ponorogo, Rita Kristianti, who sentenced to hanging in Penang, Malaysia. Retno Marsudi said legal assistance is still being done in an effort to process appeals against the verdict handed down by the court in Penang, Malaysia. He explained that Indonesia respecting the laws force in the country, but the government's obligation to provide guidance law so that the legal rights of Indonesian citizens will be fulfilled. Retno Marsudi also said they had communicated with representatives of the Ministry of Foreign Affairs in Malaysia regarding the appeal. Retno Marsudi confirmed it has also been in communication with Rita's family in Ponorogo, East Java, to provide information related to her legal improvement in Malaysia. On the other hand, Vice Speaker of the House of Representatives Fadli Zon asked the government to be more proactive in providing assistance to workers who face legal problems overseas. Fadli Zon also said Rita's case has been frequently occurred. The government should have good mechanisms in order to provide maximum assistance, especially to every Indonesian citizen who experienced a similar case. Fadli Zon encouraged the government not to underestimate the problems faced by Rita and the other Indonesian citizens. That was today's focus.
Here news in brief read by Rahmana. The U.S. Trade and Development Agency, USTDA, has provided a grant to help Indonesia develop its aviation safety system in eastern areas of Indonesia. Army Chief of Staff General Mulyono still will propose an increase in the allowances for soldiers stationed in the provinces of Maluku and North Maluku due to the high cost of living. The House of Representatives DPR has finally passed the draft bill on second amendment to the Law No. 1-2015 on determination of government regulation in lieu of Law No. 1-2014 on gubernatorial, district head and mayoral election into law in a plenary meeting on Tuesday. The Central Statistics Agency, BPS, has recorded a 94.54% increase in foreign tourist arrivals in West Java through Hussein Sastra Negara Airport in April. The allocation of village funds by the government in the past 2 years is expected to reduce urbanization. Head of the National Planning and Development Agency, Bappenas Sofian Jalil, said in Jakarta on Tuesday that urbanization can be stopped by the transfer of village funds. Vice Chairman of the House Commission for Daniel Johan has called on the government to immediately set price ceilings on food to make it difficult for the mafia to control food prices. An earthquake measuring 5.0 on Richter scale shook the northern part of Sulawesi Island on Tuesday night. That's news in brief from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
You're still tuning in to the Voice of Indonesia broadcasting daily from Jakarta. And listener, here is our next segment, Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello listener, it is a great pleasure to meet you again in Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary, art and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we'll invite you to visit Aceh Province. Stay tuned. Thank you. listener, although it is called Veranda of Mecca. The Aceh province has not only become religious tourism destinations, there are also a variety of natural wealth that are interesting to be visited. One of the objects is Pachari Waterfall. The waterfall is hidden in the Janto Dance Forest, so it is still rarely touched. The waterfall is located approximately 60 kilometers or a 2-hour trip to by car to the south of Banda Aceh Regency. The waterfall tourism site can be reached by private vehicle. Public transportation only serves the route from Banda Aceh to downtown Janto. From Janto city center, capital of Aceh Besar, visitors still have to continue their trips for about 10 kilometers to Bueng village, Janto sub-district, as the entrance gate to the waterfalls. But there is no public transport serving the road from Janto city center to Bueng. To reach the waterfall, you must firstly report to the local youth group because the waterfall is located in the woods and quite far from the village. So, to make your trip more secure and to not get lost, you must be accompanied by local youth. Therefore, you must pay 200,000 rupiah per group with a maximum number of 10 people. When you are arriving at Bueng village, you must parking your vehicle there because the next trip will be passed on foot. You have to walk for 2 hours for about 5 kilometers. During the trip, you can enjoy the natural beauty and amazing travel experience. Along the way, you can feel the experience against the current of the river of Krueng Janto and also the adventure experience along Janto Forest, which is part of the forest protected areas. After that, you will pass the hill. Despite the exhausting climb the hill, it can be paid off, because behind the hill, there has been waiting the beauty of Pachari Waterfall. Listeners, Pachari Waterfall consists of several small waterfalls. There are 7 levels of waterfalls from the top until the lake. Each waterfall has 1 meter to 2 meters height. From a distance, the waterfall looks like a natural stair. Each waterfall has a pond with bluish-green water underneath. The lake or the pond has a depth of between a half meter to 1.5 meters. The water is clean and fresh, so many visitors play and soak there. Unfortunately, you cannot swim because the pond is only about 1.5 meters wide. In addition to play the water, do not forget to capture the beauty of Pachari Waterfall with your camera, because it is located in the middle of the forest and there is no available restaurant. Do not forget to bring your own food supplies. That was Indonesian Wonder for today with the topics Pachari Waterfall from Aceh. We will meet again tomorrow with other interesting topics. Sampai jumpa.
Miscellany.
Miscellany on Indonesia, a segment featuring various actual information.
Hello listener, welcome back to our regular segment, Miscellany. Indonesia is known as the agrarian country because most of Indonesian people are farmers. Agriculture in Indonesia has known several kinds of artificial fertilizer, pesticides, and high-quality seeds since 1969. As a result, Indonesia has undergone increasing productivity until it reached self-sufficient on food in 1986 and received an award from Food and Agriculture Organization FAO from the United Nations. But the continuous usage of synthetic pesticides will harm the ecosystem balance and contaminate the environment until it will have a negative impact on agriculture production. Therefore, in today's edition of Miscellany, we'll inform you about pesticide of natural material from cigarette industry waste. Listener, more recently, it has been realized that the usage of synthetic pesticide is like a dilemma. Under the big benefit to increase agriculture production, in fact, pesticides have hidden harms and horrible dangers for human beings. The negative impacts are causing environment pollution, intoxication, which are fatal to trigger cancer, disability, and many other diseases. Realizing the danger, a group of students of Indonesian Islamic University in Yogyakarta, Indrasti Dwi Pujilestari Cahyati, Rizky and Marlina from Chemistry Study Program created environmentally friendly natural pesticide from cigarette waste such as the leaf and tobacco shaft. The innovation has been through an intensive research to gain benefit from the waste in order to help the chili farmers in overcoming the pest. The pests are considered as the huge danger for chili farmers because of its destructive effect. According to Dwi Pujilestari, the leaf and shaft extract contains high nicotine alkaloid. This substance is similar with neurotoxin that can paralyze insects. This environmentally friendly and natural pesticide works by interrupting insects' nerve system. And the residue can travel easily in the nature, so it will not affect the environment. To extract the substance, it takes several processes. First, the tobacco waste is ground and soak in a methanol solvent. Then the extract is strained to get the raw extract. The extract is then processed again until it results in alkaloid compound that is ready to use as pesticide solvent. Even it proves to be effective to eliminate the chili pest, the students still need further research to know more the combination of the solvent to extract tobacco waste that most effective as the natural pesticide. Besides, the students are still developing ways to make natural pesticide to be applied by the chili farmers. Well, Well, listener, that was today's edition of Miscellany with the topic Pesticide of Natural Material from Cigarette Industry Waste. I'm Nuka Kusumawati. We'll meet again in the next edition of Miscellany.
Again tomorrow with another Miscellany on Indonesia.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener of RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are. Welcome back with me, Dee, in our regular segment of Music Corner, which introduces you to Indonesian music, both traditional and modern ones. Today's edition presents you Fitri Karlina, a well-known Indonesian female dangdut singer. To begin our program, here is a song entitled Anti Galau by Fitri Karlina. Happy listening. Listener, dangdut is a very popular music genre in Indonesia since a long time ago until nowadays. The distinctive sounds of the music making dangdut music genre gains positive response from Indonesian music lovers. Unlike other music genres in Indonesian music industry, dangdut considers to be difficult as it required special skills from the singers. One of the singers who choose to be existed in the Indonesian dangdut stage is Fitri Karlina. Her existence colored not only the Indonesian dangdut world, but also the Indonesian music industry in general. Listener, before we go any further, let's listen to another song by Fitri Karlina entitled ABG Tua.
Kau sebarkan
listener, let's talk a bit about Fitri Karlina. She was born in May 29, 1987 and started her long and winding road in Indonesia dangdut world firstly in 2011. As the Indonesian dangdut industry known to be very competitive, Fitri Karlina has nothing else to choose but giving her best efforts to be existed among other talents in this country's dangdut world. Fitri Karlina finally successful released her first album in 2014. Her popularity raised as her songs becoming hits and loved by the Indonesian dangdut lovers. She released another album in 2015 in strengthening her name in Indonesian dangdut industry. Listener, to wrap up today's music corner, let's listen to two songs by Fitri Karlina entitled 11-12 and Suka Sama Suka. Enjoy the songs and sampai jumpa lagi.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz,
and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
Kau tersenyum padaku, ku tahu itu bukan senyuman biasa.
Sejak pertama kau menyapa diriku, ku tahu itu bukan sapaan biasa.
Dan aku tak ingin cintaku hanya terpendam di hati. Dan aku tak ingin cintaku hanya terpendam di hati. Aku suka, kamu suka, sudah jangan lama-lama. Mari kita jalin cinta dan berbagi rasa. Aku suka, kamu suka, sudah jangan lama-lama. Mari kita jalin cinta. Aku suka, kamu suka, sudah jangan lama-lama. Mari kita jalin cinta dan berbagi rasa.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id. Or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.